Now, when it comes to print advertising, reach is impacted by the circulation. Now, what is circulation? So, circulation is essentially, a number of copies distributed or sold hard copies, right? So, for example, if Times of India in Mumbai, is printing, let's say, 10 lakh copies, so that becomes a 10 lakh circulation in Mumbai for Times of India. So that's basically a circulation. Now, even when it comes to print, impressions exist, right? So that's basically a possible number of people who will get an opportunity to see your ad in a magazine or a newspaper. That is essentially called as an impression. So, for example, let's say, taking the same example, Times of India in Mumbai had printed like 10 lakh copies and distributed it, but only, let's say, 5 lakh out of those people have got chance to see your ad. So that means that your impression count on that day for Times of India is 5 lakh. So that's the impression on print. Now, when it comes to magazine, it's important to know what a coverage is. So coverage is essentially, for print advertising, it's equivalent of rating, which is referred to as coverage. So basically, it's the percentage of people in our TG that saw a particular publication in the past month. So that's called as a coverage. Now, composition is also very important. So this is essentially, how well a particular target group is, covered by the publication. Okay, so let's understand this with the help of an example. So let's say in Mumbai, Times of India may cover, 50% NCCS A population, 25% NCCS B population, right? So which means that, affluent people probably have an access, or TOI covers more affluent people. Lokmat, on the other hand, let's say, can have or may cover 30% NCCS A, but 50% NCCS B. So for probably premium brands, you may choose to advertise on Times of India. For a mass brand, probably, Lokmat will make more sense because it covers, 50% of the NCCSB population. These are just a hypothetical example, just to explain the concept in a better way. Again, let's say a main supplement of, let's say, Times of India is read by 70% of men. Now we are comparing the genders. We had already compared the NCCSA composition. We are now trying to cover the genders. So let's say main supplement of Times of India may have a 70% men reading it. On the other hand, its supplement, which is Bombay Times, right? Let's say 60% of females read it, right? So that's the composition, right? So it may be for a beauty product, it will make sense to advertise in Bombay Times and not probably the main issue of Times of India. Now, circulation of magazine, it's again, the concept is similar. It's basically, how many copies of the magazine are, distributed for each of the issues. Now, this circulation, even for print and for magazine, they are, given to us either by magazines or the newspaper, which are called as the claimed number. Or there's also a third-party audit, which is called as an Audit Bureau of Circulation, or ABC, which provides us with the circulation number for each of the publications. Now comes the subscription. So when it comes to magazine, basically a percentage of copies that are sold by the way of subscription against the sold against the those which are sold individually on the newsstand, right? So that's basically a subscription. And when it comes to magazine, usually the sales they happen through subscription. Obviously, standalone copies are there, and people randomly buy that. But for magazine, it's mostly the subscription that kind of drives the revenue. Then comes the rate base. So this is essentially, the number of copies that a publisher promises an advertiser that they will sell. Now, it is very important because, you know, in case the promised number is not delivered by the advertiser or the promised number of copies is not getting sold, then an advertiser may have a potential loss of business, right? Because they are choosing to advertise with that publication. So that is called as a rate base. Now, readership is basically, you know, how many people are reading the reading a particular magazine or a particular newspaper. That's called as a readership. Now, readership can either be claimed by the media owners, or the best way to get access to the readership is the IRS or Indian Readership Survey, which is a tool which we have to subscribe to. I mean, it's a paid subscription. So all the media agencies have taken subscriptions of IRS or Indian Readership Survey for getting these readership, so that we can evaluate the publications in a better way. Now comes the positioning. So this positioning is what essentially it means, is that it's the placement in the magazines. Now it's kind of debatable which position in the magazine is the most impactful, but you know, for all practical aspects, you know, cover page can be considered as the as a position or a placement which is most impactful. But in order to create impact, there are multiple things that we can do in the magazine. So, you know, there could be innovations like French window, etc. That could also be that could also come at the top of the newspaper. Or even if our ad is inside the magazine, what we can do cleverly is that, you know, there could be an extension of that paper, which is commonly referred to as a dog ear. Wherein, you know, whenever we get the magazine, that dog ear is extending so that we can actually lift, it acts as a bookmark actually, right? So even if our ad is inside, we will still be able to make an impact through this extended innovations like dog ear. Now for newspaper, right, types of market to be used is something that we need to evaluate carefully, and that can be done with the help of, you know, either demographics or the sales of the brand, or even the BDI CDI, which we have seen before. So for example, let's say a particular brand has a low BDI, a low brand development index, and a high CDI or a high category development index. What it essentially means is that, you know, the category is doing well in that market, but brand is not doing. So what we have seen in the earlier chapters is that in this case, we will first have to find out what the problem is, right? Because categories, products are getting sold, and there's problem with our brands. So let's say in such case of low BDI and high CDI, okay, we identify that, you know, the problem with our products is that there are credibility issues. Like, people are not believing in our claims, right? So for such markets, right, we can use print, because print adds the authenticity to the communication, right? So print can be used in such markets. And hence, when it comes to print, because print is available throughout the India, but we cannot choose to advertise across, right? So we have to identify such markets for print and then deploy, the print ads smartly. Then, again, circulation, it's the same thing that we mentioned before. It's the number of copies of the new newspaper or a magazine that gets sold. Now comes the readership. Readership, like we mentioned, it's basically the number of people that who are reading X publication or an X newspaper, right? So that this is basically how many people read a publication in a particular TG or in a particular market. Now IRS gives this number for the entire India. It gives this by state, it gives this by the cities, and even for urban and rural cuts, right? So IRS gives the readership for all these different geographies, and it basically serves as a point of evaluation for us, because we will know that if in a particular market a TOI has this much of readership versus the Hindu has this much of readership, and then we can evaluate basis, this readership, who we want to go ahead with. Now, this is useful for products that have regional variation. The print is useful, extremely useful for products which have regional variation. So, for example, let's say there's a new car from Hyundai getting launched. Okay. Typically, if you've seen any auto ads, right, there's a list of, you know, authorized dealership that comes at the bottom of that ad. So for in Mumbai, the addresses and the names of those dealerships could be dealers could be different than that of Delhi. So for such cases, right, print makes a good sense, because we cannot keep we cannot have two different TV advertisements, but we can definitely have two different print copies meant for individual cities, right? So that's the use case for print. Now, certain considerations for out of home. You know, the main decision here is that you know out of home is available again across you know across India. It is available in all the towns, the smaller towns, you know, tier one cities or even metros. But it's available. Although out of home is available everywhere, but we have the finite budget, right? So the first main decision that we have to make when it comes to out of home is deciding which markets that we want to focus on. Now, depending on the market, a media planner can, you know, suggest to the client which form or which format of OOH can act as a can be more impactful. It could be, you know, advertisement on bus stops or billboards or even auto rickshaws or, you know, even the facades of mall, right? So deciding market is very important for OOH. Now the key indicator here is the OOH rating. You know, this is basically to get that right, we first need to choose your location right. Now therefore it is required to understand our marketplace and understand our audience, so that you know when we know which markets that we want to focus on, and depending on our audience we can also choose the format of the media. Then when it comes to digital advertising, there are certain considerations that we need to be aware of, starting with the CPM or cost per thousand or cost per mile. So this is basically a cost that we need to pay to a media owner for every 1,000 impressions that they serve for us as an advertiser, right? So we'll repeat this. So cost per thousand or CPM is essentially means is that the cost that we need to pay to a media owner for every 1,000 impressions that they serve, right? Then there is CPC or a cost per click. Now, in this case, we are paying the media owner only when a user or an audience actually clicks on our ad, right? It doesn't matter how many impressions that the media owner is serving. Until and unless a user clicks on those ads, an advertiser will not pay to the media owner, right? So let's say if there are 1,000 impressions that a media owner is serving, that let's say a website called xyz.com, you know, as an advertiser, we are choosing to advertise on them, on their platform, and they are serving, let's say, 1,000 impressions for our ad, but only 20 people click on that ad. So in this model of buying, which is cost per click, we will only pay for this 20 clicks that have happened, irrespective whether they have, you know, they have served 1,000 impressions or 2,000 impressions. Now comes the cost per action. So by the name suggests, you know, we only pay to the media owner here when a particular defined action is completed by the user. Now these actions can be, there can be multiple different actions, and we need to define those actions. So it could be, you know, a user. So for example, as an advertiser, I want people to fill up or submit the lead form, okay, so that then I can call. This is very practical example for real estate clients, wherein, you know, they actually want to get lead information, you know, the contact number, the name of the person, so that when they get the lead, they can call up those people personally and, you know, take the process of selling ahead, right? So In this case, action is filling up the lead form. There could also be certain different actions like installs of a app. There could also be, you know, actual making purchase. That can also be defined as an action, or even adding products to the cart. That can also be called as an action. But this cost per action is basically a very generic term, right? So and a CPA is basically then calculated as campaign cost divided by actions. So for example, if I'm putting 1 lakh rupees in my campaign, and if I'm getting, let's say, 100 leads, so in this case my CPA becomes 100. So I'm basically paying 100 rupees for every action that is being taken, or every person filling up a form. Yeah, so like we were saying, CPA is a generic term, right? Because action could be anything. More specific terminologies are like, you know, this cost per install or CPI. So this is essentially when, you know, tech companies like, let's say, for example, an app like Grow, you know, when they came into the market for the first, all they wanted was, you know, people to download the app and install it, right? So they will run campaign which are optimized for, you know, a user clicking and, you know, actually installing the app. So for every install that happens, then only the media owner will be paid by the advertiser. So this is called as a cost per install. And we just spoke about the cost per lead. So whenever person actually fills, whenever the user actually fills the lead, that time only the payment will be done, right? So that's called as cost per lead or CPL. Now, we have briefly spoken about programmatic, right? So when it comes to programmatic, we all know that, you know, the digital advertising has evolved, right, from IO to networks to programmatic. So in the early days, what used to happen is that, you know, let's say I am an advertiser and I wanted to advertise on BBC, then I will, you know, personally get in touch with BBC, write a mail to them, and then, you know, we'll get in touch, we'll form a deal, and then, you know, I'll give my ad to them and then they will play my ad. So this was a very manual process which used to happen in the past. After that, what happened is that, you know, there will there was a huge influx of websites that were created, right? Now there was not only BBC, but there is CNN, and there are so many thousands of websites that were there. So it was in humanly impossible for you know, advertisers to get in touch with individually with all of them, and that's when the ad networks came in place. So for example, a Google ad network, let's say in this case what had happened is that Google tied up with all these you know, different media owners, and we had to only get in touch with Google. So that was the network era. And now it has evolved to programmatic. We'll discuss programmatic a little later about the concept. But what programmatic essentially does is that, you know, it automates the buying for us. Like, there's no human involvement that happens, you know, in forging the deals, etc. On the programmatic platform, like, for example, one of the demand side platforms of Google is called DV360, right? Display Video 360. It's basically a platform. You can consider that as a dashboard through which you can, you know, specify, this is the TG I want to target, this is the market I want to target, this is my budget, and, you know, depending on that, you know, me as an advertiser can advertise on a lot of other inventory. So now, right now, almost 40% of the ads which are running on digital, they are bought using programmatic. Now, it obviously allows advertisers to specify who they want to reach, and, you know, programmatic can do the job for the advertiser. So, like we were just saying that, you know, programmatic will help us, you know, reach out to a certain set of audiences, right? But then there is a concept of DMPs, basically a data management platforms. Some of the examples of data management platforms are, you know, Lotame is there, there's BlueKai, then there's VSERP. Like, these DMPs are essentially companies, you know, who have an access to a lot of data from a lot of people. What they have done is that they have gathered all the data And then they have segregated that data into multiple different cohorts. So for example, they would have segregated data into, you know, females who are mothers. Then they have probably segregated into, you know, men who have who own a car, such cohorts that they have made. So basically they have a rich source of data, and hence they are called as a data management platform. Now what can be done is that, you know, we can take the data from these DMPs and we can ingest that data on our demand side platform, like DV360 that we were saying. So now we will have access to huge data, and even on that data, we will have access to the various cohorts, right? So using those DMPs data on DSP, we can target, the most relevant consumers that we want to reach out to. So for example, taking an example of a traditional media, if an advertiser who sells, let's say, diapers, for example, and if I want to advertise on TV, probably what I would do is that I would like to target to mothers. But in that case, what I will do is I will target females, probably ranging from 22 to 30, or 22 to 40, and maybe NCCS AB. So these are the only thing which are available to me, right? I'm just advertising there with these. The notion in my mind that, you know, if I'm targeting a female from 22 to 30, I will probably be able to reach out to mother. There is no precise targeting. But when we make use of DMPs like this Lutame or Bluecai, right, they will actually have access to, a female who is a mother who has a kid, right? So that kind of precise targeting is possible. Then there are certain considerations which are there for owned media. Now, when it comes to the word of mouth, you know, the quantity, it defines how many individuals the viral efforts may potentially influence, right? So when it comes to a word of mouth, quantity is what is important. Again, owned media like a website, right? It is highly measurable. Now, any user that is coming on our website, my website can give me insights about, you know, who is this person, where they have come from, and what they're going to do next on my website. So I will have an access to the user journey on my platform for that users, right? So this owned media of website is highly measurable. Now, in past chapters, when we discussed the owned media, one of the things that was, a disadvantage is that the measurability of an owned media like brand integration or a product placement. But there's always surrogates for that, right? So, for example, if there's a brand integration that happens in a particular program, I can consider a GRP or a reach for that program and, you know, try to estimate how many people we have reached through that integration, right? So there's a workaround for it. Planner can also, when it comes to, let's say, certain events like marathon, which we like one of the sponsors that we had seen, that Puneet Balan group in last chapter, was that, you know, they had advertised or they were sponsors for Pune Marathon. Now, we do not know, right, what is the measurability for it, but the planners can always do an estimate of, you know, number of people attending that marathon, and that can act as a evaluation criteria for an owned media like sponsorship. So that's about it, and we will see the practical aspects of media planning and buying in the next chapter. Thank you.